Hey, everybody. This is Shay McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast. On today's show, we have home grower Vincent. Vincent comes on the show today to talk about his stealth setup and growing cannabis indoors. Now, I know I had a guest from New Zealand come on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about his stealth setup, but I figured you guys would appreciate another perspective on stealth grows. And also, I just want to let you guys know that Vincent wrote an ebook, and he is going to be giving it away for free on my website. So if you guys want to download that ebook for free, go to cheaphomegrow.com/episode41. Please remember to press subscribe and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, a show for individuals that want to learn more about growing cannabis indoors. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you with your indoor growing adventure. You'll learn how to grow your own and not have to rely on others for your medicine. The Cheap Home Grow Podcast will also feature timely interviews with cannabis industry veterans shaping the culture and politics of cannabis. All right. Here is your host, Shane McCormick, and the Cheap Home Grow Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Shane McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast. And on today's show, we have a longtime home grower. His name is Vincent. Vincent and I came in contact on Twitter. His Twitter handle is OwnGrow. That's OwnGrow. He's been growing cannabis for a really long time. I reached out to him, and today we're going to be talking about stealth grows. He's on the other end of the line. So, Vincent, if you could you please give my audience a background about yourself, and then we can get right into the conversation.
Oh, sure. Fast correction: the grow I spell it G-R-O, so it's at. Own Grow, OwnGrow. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Sure thing.
So my name is Vince. I live in the Midwest. And since I live in an illegal state, my choices are if I want to smoke marijuana, and that's what I do. Generally, I smoke it. I either have to buy from the black market or I have to grow it myself. So I'm kind of old, and probably most people don't think about this, but how is somebody old, like I'm 60, I'm almost 68, how is somebody like me supposed to get weed on the black market? It's not easy. I have to have somebody set it up for me, purchase it. I have to go meet him, pay him, then pick up and he has to drive with the pot in his car for a while to meet me. Then I have to drive it home, and it's literally stupid.
Right.
And you know, that forced me to grow my own weed. And I think of it as a peaceful protest against the stupid laws in my state.
Okay.
In the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I started growing it. And actually, the first time I grew was way back in 1982. I grew a plot of plants outdoors, and I really didn't know what I was doing. I grew about 15 plants in the middle of my grandfather's cornfield. And I picked them, and, geez, I had great plants, but I put them in a plastic bag and stored them in a shed. And I went back in that shed about 2 weeks later, and they were all mold. I had to throw them away.
Okay.
But anyway, so I grow inside.
Okay. All right. And basically, you started out approximately 35 years ago, not really knowing what the hell you were doing, but, you know, you liked using cannabis, a.k.a. Marijuana, and you just basically, you know, love to grow, and you've been doing it ever since, I presume. Is that correct?
Yeah. Now, one drawback I do have, because I have to stealth grow indoors, it's real hard to grow in the summertime because it gets so hot because of your lights.
Sure.
And so I grow in an extra bedroom. I would rather grow in the basement, but in my basement I have a furnace, hot water tank, water softener, air conditioning unit, so on and so forth. So if I have to bring a service guy in, you know, what am I going to do with all my plants? I have to yank them outside or something.
Right. Yeah, that's a bit
so
of a pain in the ass.
The problem with that is when you grow, like, in a bedroom, and, again, I'm in an illegal state, so I can't bring an electrician and say, listen, wire my room up so I can grow, so I can use, like, you know, 40 lamps or 40 lights. So I'm kind of stuck with using the circuit I have in a room. So that does limit me as far as how many lights I can have on at the same time. And for sure, I can't use an air conditioner in the summer because I don't have enough juice. And also, it hurts me a little bit using a humidifier because it gets so dry in the wintertime.
Okay. All right. Okay. Vincent, fair enough. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, let me start off first with my, you know, with the basic first question. And really, I mean, this is for people that are listening, and they're probably in the same situation as you. This is, you know, my primary question of the show. How would you go about starting off growing your own, but in a stealthy way? I mean, what are some do's? What are some don'ts? I mean, what tips and tricks you can offer the other person that is listening in on the other end?
Okay. Yeah. So first of all, if you're in a house, again, I suggest you use like a spare bedroom. And, you know, think about this. You can actually cordon off one half of your bedroom if you don't have a room and have half you sleep in, and then hang a curtain and use the other half to grow. Or if you have a closet, it's okay to grow in a closet and just grow a couple plants. Nothing wrong with that either. So the first thing you have to do is decide, you know, where you're going to do it. So like I said, I don't suggest using a basement or anywhere a service person has to come in. So try to pick a place that's private. So in my house, it's a bedroom at the end of the hallway that nobody uses, and I don't want anybody upstairs. Because it does have an aroma when you're growing throughout the winter.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And, you know, that's something you have to think about. Are you going to allow people in your home? Because I guess the first point I'm going to tell everybody is, don't tell anybody what you're doing if you're in a illegal state, because you can't trust anybody.
Sure. Exactly.
So first choose where you're going to grow, and you should at least have a window and some electric circuits for your room. Now, I suggest everybody get electrical advice, but, for example, I have a 20-amp circuit in my bedroom, and I only want to use about 80% of that.
Okay.
With my lights and what else, and my timers, that kind of stuff. So I can't give electrical advice, but one thing I do, I don't tax my electrical circuit in my room because I don't want any problems.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And I also try to stay home when my lights are on. So in other words, I run my lights all night, and they're off in the daytime.
Okay, sure. So if there is a problem, you can deal with it pretty much.
Yeah, I'm home in case I got to get a fire hose or something.
Yeah, right.
Which doesn't happen. I'm kind of kidding.
Right.
Sure. And then one thing you can use in a closet, I buy this stuff, and you can get it at any Home Depot or Lowe's. It's called Reflectex. It's like an insulation material with aluminum foil outside of it.
Okay.
And you can stick that in a closet, and you have almost an instant grow room. Or you can actually put that in the middle of a room. And it stands up on its own.
But what's that called again?
It's called Reflectix. Reflectix.
Oh. Okay.
Reflectix. It comes in rolls, and you use it for insulation purposes, but you can also use it to make a portable grow room. And I've done that before.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've never heard about that.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do. And that would be versus buying like a grow tent. That's another thing you can do too, which I've never used personally, but you can get a grow tent for like about $150 or so online, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with using a grow tent. There's plenty of people that do use that, and they grow. They can fit about 6 plants in there.
Okay. Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've used grow tents. I've used, my friend's owned grow box. I've used that. I mean, it's not you can't do 6 plants, but I mean, you can get a pretty good yield, from his device. That's for sure. But yeah, this new method that you're talking about, that the, I believe it's, what is it pronounced? It's
reflective.
Yeah, that sounds pretty intriguing. So yeah, I mean, if you want to go off on that, please do so.
Yeah, it's a roll of reflective insulation material, and it's 4 foot tall, and I think they come in 10 foot long rolls. So you can actually unroll it, and it stands up. And then you can hang lights from your ceiling, and I use the adjustable cords. Kind of hard to describe without showing you a picture of them.
Right.
But they're like a ratchet type adjusting thing on it. And you can lower your lights all the way to the ground, for example. And then as your plants grow, you just crank them up so your lights don't get too close to your plants. And then what I use it in my room, I staple it to the walls too. So I have, I call it getting more bang for my lumen, so to speak. So I have all this reflective material on the walls, reflecting my light back into the plants. And then I also use a closet, and I unroll it and use it inside the closet too.
Okay.
And I would encourage anybody to try that for their closet. And again, it's kind of cheap. It's only about $35 or so. And then again, you get more bang for your light because it reflects the lights all over your plant.
All over your plant, yeah. Is the reflection, is it, I mean, would you say, well, I guess this really depends on the room, but is it even? I mean, is it spread out, or is it kind of like, do you have to adjust your plants while growing constantly, or is it fairly even? You know what I mean?
No, it's fairly even. One thing I do when I have the time, and if I can remember, is I rotate my plants every day.
Oh, okay.
So in other words, let's say if I have, two rows of seven plants.
Sure.
And every day I'll rotate them, let's say a quarter turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always put it like a mark with a piece of white tape on each pot. And then I rotate them a quarter turn on Monday. Then on Tuesday, I rotate them another quarter turn. So this way, at least I'm trying to get all the plant covered with as much light as I have in a room. Now, I can't guarantee that really does anything, but it makes me feel a lot better, so I do it.
Right. Okay. Okay. Sure.
If you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm just trying to paint that picture in my head. But yeah, okay. I can. I tell you what. Is it possible for you to send any photos or?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. After the recording, I'll give you my contact information, and when this goes to publish, I will publish those pictures that you send. But okay. Sure.
Yeah, and so as I set up my grow room, like I said, in a spare bedroom, and I also use a closet. But if you don't have one, you can use a closet, or you can use that reflective material, or again, you can get a grow tent.
Okay.
And then you have to have enough electrical circuits to be able to handle all your lights. And so I have a 20-amp circuit. I only want to use about 80% of that, though, because I don't want any problems. And then you need a water source, too.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, so before we talk about the water, I'll tell you what. I mean, here's a question for you. How do you make sure that you're only using 80% of your electricity? I mean, what do you do then? I mean, how do you do it?
So roughly speaking, I have, I got a note here about how many watts I use. Let me find it for a second. And again, I'm not an electrician. I suggest everybody... Here's a full disclaimer. You got to check for yourself.
Okay.
Sure. Give me one second here. I'm going to find it. I got to go to page 21.
All righty.
I have my own notes here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Sorry about the delay. Almost there.
No problem. Take your time.
So on my 20-amp circuit, that's about a maximum load of 2,400 watts.
2,400 watts.
Okay. And I only want to use 80% of that because I don't want to take any chances. So that means I keep my electrical usage to around 1,500 watts per circuit.
Okay.
Then how I decide the 1,500 watts, I just add up all the wattage on the stuff I'm using.
Okay.
For example, I use a 600 watt and a 400 watt HID light. That's high intensity discharge.
Okay.
And during a veg cycle, that would be an MH light or metal halide. Mm-hmm. And during the flowering cycle, that would be a high-pressure sodium bulb.
Right.
Okay. So that's 1,000 watts there. Then I use LED lights, you know, for extra juice. And plus, they draw less voltage.
Right. Yes,
and
they
so
do.
For my last 500 watts, I can use actually set 4 LED lights on that same circuit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because they don't use the amount of wattage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I can use six lights in my room.
Six lights in total in your room. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't use anything higher than 600 watts.
Okay. Why?
Because 1,000 watts is too hot.
Yeah, it's too hot, especially in a relatively, I guess, somewhat small environment, perhaps.
Yeah, and so the problem is when you do use 1,000 watts, because I have one, but I don't use it, you have to have it so high above your plant, all that extra wattage is wasted anyway.
Right.
Because it's just too hot. Generally speaking, I keep the light, I put my hand above the plant, and I get the light as closest to when my hand feels too hot.
Okay.
You know, that's as close as I can get to my plant.
All right. Okay. So in terms of closeness to your plant, it's basically for you, I guess presumably because you've been doing this for decades, it's for you, it's more of a touch and feel method as opposed to some growers, it's much more scientific and math based. But for you, it's more of a touch and feel perhaps.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of how I grow, and I've been doing it a long time. You know, I've taken all that mumbo jumbo and kind of turned it into a nice simple system that's real easy for me to do it and repeat it anytime I want.
Okay.
And really, so nobody can really tell you. It kind of depends on your room and your ventilation, too, how close to put your lights to your plant. You know, somebody can give you a rough idea, but really you have to put your hand above your plant and see how hot it gets. If it's too hot for your hand, it's too hot for your plant.
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a pretty... Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to talk about some simplistic or simple approach or whatever. That's pretty true. Sure.
Yeah. And then LED lights, you can get those a little closer. Though the LEDs do produce heat,
mm-hmm.
you have to have ventilation for those. But it's not the kind of heat you get from a high-intensity discharge light, where that heat is just blasting down on your plant. An LED light generates heat, but it's not so much as blasting down on your plant. It's like it's blowing the heat to the side, so to speak, because that's how their fans exhaust.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's true. Because, in terms of ventilation, sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I handle the electrical load. And then sometimes I need heat. So the only time I can add heat is when my lights are off in the daytime, then I plug in an electric heater.
Mm-hmm. Okay, an electric heater when your lights are off in the daytime. Okay.
Yeah, and I use a timer for all my lights.
Okay. All right, which timer do you use by any chance?
I use two types. I use one, it's a plug-in mechanical timer.
Okay.
Which they're pretty accurate, but they get to be about 10 minutes off over, you know, like a month. But I still use them, and they're pretty inexpensive. They're about $15.
Okay.
Now, the better timer to use is a digital timer.
Right. Okay.
And you can buy those at Home Depot, Lowe's, or you can buy them online, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they're digital, but those break down after about a year. They can't handle the draw through them.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, something that cheap, it's a good product, or they can be good products, but, you know, it's just, after, you know, 8 to 12 months, it's probably time for a upgrade, and, you know, it's not expensive. So.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing I tell people, too, about your room, you don't really want your room to get hotter than 85 degrees.
Okay.
And, you know, that's like the max. And I've had my room, my timers didn't work right, and I've had my room up to like 100 degrees before. That's how warm those lights can do with a closed door.
Really? Well, what happened to your grill? Did you have to throw it away?
No, I just cooled it down real quick, and they survived all right.
All right, good. Yeah, well, sure. I mean, it's, you know, one thing about weed is that it can grow or it can survive in a lot of different environments. And, you know, for a little while, it's not that big of a deal. Usually.
Absolutely. I think they're a pretty hardy plant. You know, even if you don't water, you'll see your leaves will droop badly. Right. But if you hit them with water real quick, they'll perk up, you know, in another few hours.
Right. Sure. Exactly.
And then if you overwater, too, you can actually dry it real quick and they recover, too.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one of the, sure, that's one of the benefits of cannabis. It's a pretty tough plant. I mean,
yeah, really tough. Like, they're like a hockey player. They can take it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Just like me.
Yeah.
Once upon a time.
Yeah.
Right. But a few minutes ago, before we talked about, I guess, electricity and load, you mentioned irrigation. How would you irrigate a second floor grow in a spare bedroom? How would you go about it?
Well, I guess I should explain. I didn't mention this before. I grow in soil.
Oh, okay.
I don't use hydroponics, and, you know, nothing wrong with it. I've never tried it. You know, I've looked at it, and I thought about it, but there's two reasons I don't use hydroponics. Number one, I suggest anybody go buy some hydroponic vegetables and give them a try. I've tried it. They taste terrible.
Right.
And number two, I don't want to mess around with water and nutrients. I'm a little sloppy, and I don't want to take a chance. If you make one mistake with hydroponics, you could kill your whole grow.
Right.
As far as nutrients go. And so I choose to grow in soil using nutrients, you know, a nutrient mix. I use DynaGrow nutrients with a soil mix.
Okay.
And so now I've evolved into growing in 5-gallon pots. And to give you a rough idea, in the middle of the flowering, each plant in about a 5-gallon pot, give or take, will use about 1.5 gallons of water per week.
Okay.
So what I have at the end of my hallway, I have a bathroom in the second floor of my house, and I take off my shower nozzle, and I have a bunch of empty 1-gallon jugs. Because I have well water, I have to buy my water to drink. My well water tastes like hell, so I don't drink it.
Right. Sure.
And so I have a bunch of empty gallon jugs, and I fill them up right on the shower nozzle. It takes me, you know, maybe a minute or even less per gallon. And then I just carry them into my room. So I'll always tell people, if you want to grow 50 plants, go ahead. But, you know, you need about 80 gallons of water a week.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's a lot of water.
And so you can hook up a hose, I guess. And I could do that. But, you know, I just fill my water and keep filling them every day. Do, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 a day and just have a whole room full of water so when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also like using a gallon jugs because it's real easy to mix your nutrients.
Okay. Okay. Now, is this, I'm going to interrupt, is this system, is this all manual labor or is there anything that is automated about it or is this something that you have to do, you know, pretty much on a daily basis?
Well, no, there's nothing automated other than your timers. You know, those turn your lights on and off.
All right.
And everybody's got to use a timer unless you're really perfect and Johnny on the spot.
Right, exactly.
And then everything else is pretty much manual labor. But if you think about it, and during the veg stage, your plants use less water. So you might use about 1.5 gallons, maybe every 15 days or 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
And once you water your plants, and I always like doing them all at one time, then you don't have to do anything to your plants except talk to them for the next 12 or 15 days while they're in the veg cycle.
Right, sure.
And, you know, you have to check for, like on my plants, I check for bugs, you know, 20 times a day. I check for mold, you know, a ton of times a day because I want to get those right when it starts to take care of them.
Right.
And then during your flowering cycle, same thing. They'll use a little more water, but once you water all your plants, you know, one day, then all you have to do is check them out every day. And maybe, you know, pull off some big fan leaves to make sure all the light gets down as far as it'll go into your plant. And again, check for bugs or mold. And that's one problem, you know, you do have to check for, because we're in a pretty wet environment and it's probably warm. You got to check for mold.
Right. Yeah, that's important. I mean, how do you, you said you check for those things 20 times a day. I mean, how, you know, if you're listening to the show and if you have a 9-to-5, I mean, how do you, Jesus, I mean, you know, I guess presumably you can't really check it 20 times a day or even 10 times a day. You check it in the morning, check it at night, you know,
yeah.
But how do you score that circle? You know,
think about this, since my lights are off in the daytime, mm-hmm. and I don't open my door all day.
Okay.
So, you know, I wouldn't have the time directly in front of it. But let's say we're growing with 18 hours on and 6 mm-hmm. hours off in the veg cycle.
Right. Okay.
So those lights are off for most of the day. I never open the door. Mm-hmm. And then I suggest everybody don't cheat and don't peek. Just let those girls stay in the darkness during that 6 hours off. And so that is one time I don't check the plants. But if the lights are on until about 9 in the morning, and I do check my plants in the morning, talk to them. Plus, I allow my animals in there. I guess I wouldn't suggest this to everybody, but I like having animals in my room so we get some more carbon dioxide in there.
Oh, okay. Animals. Well, okay, no, go ahead.
And then, so I check them in the morning. Then when the lights go off, that door is closed. And then I think the lights will come back on about, you know, 6 hours later at about, 4 or 5 o'clock. Then I'm home all night. So I'm I'm an older person, so I'm not running around every night. I'm home. Most of the time.
Sure. Exactly.
And I check on my plants.
Mm-hmm. You check. Yeah. And you just
several times.
Right. You just keep a pretty watchful eye on
yeah.
Your... Okay.
Every time I go up the steps, mm-hmm. you know, my bedroom's up there and I have a bathroom up there. I'm always peeking in at my girls and talking to them, make sure they're okay. Because I appreciate them so much.
Right. Well, when you say talk to me, what do you... I'm curious. I mean, what do you talk about? Like, what do you say to them? You know, like, what's
I just tell them. You know, I tell them how good they look. Mm-hmm. I give them their schedule.
Yeah.
I let them know that I'm gonna, you know, take off a big fan leaf. That's like those big leaves that grow on your plant. You know, I let those hang in there for a lot during the veg cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Then close to the end of the veg cycle, I'll start trimming them a little bit.
Okay.
I don't believe in complete defoliation. Some people recommend that, and I've done it before. It kills your plant. Doesn't do any good for your plant.
Okay.
So I just take off the big leaves, and I talk to the girls and let them know how great they look, and in about another 4 months or so, I'm really going to love them.
Right. Exactly.
Now, the one thing about allowing animals in your room, you got to make sure you don't have any bugs on your animals, you know, if they're animals that go outside a lot.
Right.
You get two places for bugs, either from yourself or from the soil mix you use.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you do have bugs, I mean, how do you get rid of your bugs?
Oh, boy, bugs are a pain in the butt.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons why I grow, because, frankly, think about it, I don't trust the black market guys. Those guys have a valuable crop, and if they get bugs, what are they going to do? They're going to spray some type of poison on them to kill the bugs.
Right. More than likely, they're going to spray a pesticide.
Sure.
Yeah. And for the help of the smoke pesticide.
It's a poison. Even though I'm still alive and I've been smoking it for 50 years. So. And then, you know, if you read the rules in the legal states, and I've looked at Denver and I think it was Oregon and Washington, and their rules are pretty much the same. They allow their legal growers to use the same pesticides tobacco growers use.
Right.
You know, with a few exceptions.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that can't be good.
No, I don't think so. And anyway, you know, even if the manufacturer came here and told me, yeah, you can use Roundup on your plants, don't worry, it's safe. Yeah, baloney.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I use is neem oil.
Neem, N-E-E-M-O-I-L, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I buy it from Dyna-Grow, and it's a natural, it comes from a, I think it's called a neem tree. I can't remember exactly the name of the tree. But it's organic stuff, and what it does a couple things. It smothers the bugs, and then bugs don't like it, so they stay away.
Right.
And I'm not really proactive with it. But at the first sign of a little teeny bug that I don't like, then I spray my plants with neem oil. And I put it on the soil, and I also spray it on top of the leaves and underneath the leaves.
Okay.
And generally speaking, it takes care of the bugs in about 2 days.
All right. So for the rest of the grow, generally speaking, you don't have to worry about bugs.
No, but you do have to check for them because sometimes they will pop up. Sometimes they dig into your soil and they kind of hide out.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
And you know when they come up too, it's after you're watering. That's when they generally show up.
Right.
Yeah. But they come out of the ground because you just, put a gallon and a half of water or 2 gallons of water into the pot.
Right. Sure. Exactly. Yeah.
Then one other thing I do is I hang pest strips from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
They're those sticky things.
Right. Now you said pest strips? Is that what you said?
Yeah, PEST. Pest.
Okay. All right.
And you can buy those anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cheap. They're a few bucks. You get about 4 or 5 of them. And you have to unroll them real slowly. They're real sticky. They got some gooey stuff on them.
Right. And I guess presumably that helps fight pests, right?
Yeah, it attracts the pests, and I guess pests tend to go to things that are yellow.
Mm.
And most of those pest strips are yellow. And you can also they sell sheets of that stuff, too, that you can actually put, on top of your soil.
Mm. Oh, really?
Really? It'll catch some of the pests, too.
But now, you said it's a sheet? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's actually like a sheet, kind of like a sheet of real white, note card, that kind of stuff.
All right. Okay.
But it's real sticky and it's yellow and that attracts bugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
And so for right now, I don't use those yellow cards anymore. Right now I'm just using the pest strips that hang from the ceiling and I spray neem oil when required.
When required.
And in case there's a commercial guy listening to this, please don't use pesticides. Go get neem oil. It works perfectly.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Vincent. Now, you haven't plugged your website yet. So I guess I have basically two final questions for you. What is your website? Please tell my audience about your website. And this is a question I like to ask everybody that comes on the show. Are there any questions? Is there anything that I'm missing? Any final statements? Anything along those lines that you want to mention? So really, two final questions. What is your website about? And closing statements.
All right. My website is growingweedindoors.org.
Alright, it's pretty self-explanatory, but what's it about generally? Do you have videos on there? I mean, what type of content do you promote?
Yeah, generally speaking, I have how to grow weed indoors from A to Z.
Okay.
I talk about, picking out your room. I talk about, the electrical considerations and how to water your plants. I talk about what type of soil to use, soil mix and the nutrients to use.
Okay.
And I talk about, how long the different time cycles for the veg cycle. And there's two that anybody could – actually, there's three anybody could use. Number one is 24 hours on.
Okay.
In other words, you leave your lights on all the time. And I tried that, and I really didn't get any great yield out of it.
No.
So in other words, anybody who uses 24 hours, they're trying to speed up the process.
Sure. Exactly.
And I think it's too much work on the plants.
Mm-hmm.
So now I grow either with 18 hours on and 6 hours off for the veg cycle, or I use something called the gaslight routine. And that what the gaslight routine is, it saves you some time. You only have to run your lights about 13 hours compared to 18 hours, so you save a little dough. Mm-hmm. But it's not good for all strains.
Oh, really?
Sometimes that can start your plants to flower.
Oh, really?
And I have an article on my website. It's called GLR.
Okay. GLR? Is that what you said?
Yeah, GLR.
Okay. And what's that article about?
Pardon me?
on what is that article about, if you want to give a brief synopsis.
Okay.
That's fine.
So it's a gaslight routine. So what it does is it gives you the light your plant needs to grow and grow roots and have nice foliage. And then it also saves energy. So, for example, you run your lights 12 hours of light on,
mm-hmm.
then 5.5 hours of light off.
Okay.
Then 1 hour of light on. Then 5.5 hours of light off.
Wow.
And so that one hour of light on, what that does, it keeps your plants in a veg cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus, because like the flowering cycle is 12 hours of light on and 12 hours of light off.
Exactly, yeah, right.
So what I'm trying to do is keep the plants in the veg cycle, plus save a few bucks on electricity.
Electricity, right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, you know, so that is interesting, that GLR. I mean, that might be, I mean, Jesus, I mean, that's probably another, you know, topic for another show, perhaps. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And, you know, and here's another important part of what new growers have to decide is when to start flowering.
Okay.
And this is what you have to think about, and most people don't think about this. You have to think about the height of your room. So, for example, if your room is 8 foot tall, like a normal ceiling,
sure,
and you grow your plants in a vegetative cycle, a lot of plants generally, people recommend you grow them for about 60 days in the veg cycle or 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then let's suppose your plant grows 5 feet in the veg cycle. Mm-hmm. And then after 2 months, then you turn to the flowering cycle where you turn your lights to 12 hours on, 12 hours off. What your plant does almost doubles in height.
Okay.
It'll at least grow another 60% higher. So what happens is you run out of room for your ceiling.
Right.
Because, you know, if you have an 8 foot ceiling, your lights are going to be hanging down about a foot, so you really only have about 7 foot of space.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And if you let your plants get too tall, then you have to bend them down.
Right. Yeah.
Or also get too close to the light. So what I do is I don't use time to say when I'm going to start flowering. I use the height of the plant. So when my plant hits about 4 foot, 3.5 foot to 4 foot tall, that's when I turn on the flowering.
All right. Okay, so that's when you and usually is that at the 60-day mark, or does it not, or do you not even count that? Is that not even a factor?
Yeah, it's not a factor for me.
Not a factor for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
because
actually,
you know, think about this: you can start a seedling today, you know, let it grow for a few weeks, and then just go straight to flowering, 12 hours on, 12 hours off.
Right.
You can do that. And now your plant will only be about 1.5 feet tall.
Right, right, yeah.
But, I mean, I've done it before.
Right. Well, I mean, even if it's 1.5 feet tall, I mean, if you can get pretty good yields, then, you know, who really cares if it's 1.5 feet tall, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know how I look at growing too, Shane? You know, I'm not trying to start a business selling weed. I just want to grow enough weed for my own personal use.
Right. Exactly.
So what's the difference if I get, you know, 5 ounces out of a plant or I get 2 ounces out of a plant?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, how much can you really smoke, you know?
Yeah. Even though I do smoke a lot of weed.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right. All right, Vincent. I mean, I think that, you know, just about does it. I mean, any final statements or anything along those lines before we decide to part ways here?
No, just make sure you don't tell anybody.
Okay.
You know what you're doing. And make sure you're growing in a room where nobody ever has to enter.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you got to be diligent and check your plants as much as you can. You're looking for mold and you're looking for pests. Those are the two bad things in growing weed indoors.
Exactly. Yeah, they're a pain in the ass.
For sure. Yeah. And then anybody who follows me on Twitter, that Own Grow, that's OWNGRO, they'll get a free copy of my book that's going to be published pretty soon.
Oh, really?
And it's called Grow Your Own at Home, How to Grow Weed Indoors.
All right. Okay.
And then,
is that on your website, or can they, you know?
Yeah, there's some information about it on my website, too. And then it's all done. I'm just waiting to get a cover done, and then I'm going to put it on Kindle. And for the first 5 days, it'll be free on Kindle. So that's when I'll notify everybody on Twitter that go ahead and download the book. It's free.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, any I don't usually do this, but, I mean, any special, I guess, well, it's free. This wouldn't really apply. But any, I don't know, I guess any coupon code for the Cheap Home Grow listenership, any, you know, any special discounts or anything along those lines?
Well, for my book, let's say if after the 5 day period is over, because Kindle allows you to give away your book for free for up to 5 days every 3 months.
Oh, okay.
If they tweet to me that they heard the podcast, yeah, no matter what, I'll give them a free copy of the book and free membership to my website.
All right. Hey, man. Cool. All right. That's sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll certainly put that in the podcast, you know, when this goes live.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Vince. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I look forward to talking to you again, my friend.
All right, great, Shane. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to my podcast with Vince. You can follow Vince on Twitter at OwnGrow. That's OwnGrow. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please remember to press the subscribe button. You can visit cheaphomegrow.com/episode41 to get show highlights. And please remember to sign up for my email list. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Cheap Home Grow podcast. We do our best to bring you quality content. Let's grow together. Please hit the subscribe button and take time to share this podcast with a friend. Visit cheaphomegrow.com for our database of interviews and information. Until next time, be safe and grow easy.